Perfect.
Deep in the heart of the capital city, live from the Graham Tire Studios at 44th and O, we switch on the blinding neon glow that bears their name. Jack Mitchell and Dave Miller. It's KLIN's Jack and Dave in the Morning.
8:35, Jack and Dave in the Morning on Lincoln's News and Talk, 1400 KLIN. We are glad to have you back with us on this final day of September, Wednesday, September 30th. And it's time to talk a little tech with our good friend Jason Peterson from Turbine Digital. Joins us every couple of weeks to survey what's going in the world of technology, gadgets, social media.
Look at him surveying right now.
Tech marketing and the like, and he keeps an eye out for us and like this stuff. So first of all, good morning, hello.
Good morning, boys. What's up?
Good. We're doing well. Let's start with this Facebook thing. Okay? Uh-huh. Let's just get it out of the way. I assume everybody is. I mean, this story moves so fast that I think everybody knows now. But just to clarify, you probably saw if you browse your Facebook feed this week, people, maybe multiple people, posting a status that's some variation of this. Now it is official. It's published in the media. Facebook has just released the entry price, $5.99 to keep the subscription gold of your status of life private. That's so poorly written, by the way.
It really
is. If you paste this message on your page, it will be offered free. I said paste, not share. If not tomorrow, all your posts can become public, even the messages that have been deleted or the photos not allowed. After all, it does not cost anything for a simple copy and paste. This is not true.
Hoax. Total hoax.
Complete hoax, right?
Total hoax, yep. Yeah, I triple check too, just to make sure. And yes, amongst all these other crazy, kooky things people paste in their statuses that we've talked about, this one is not true.
Facebook actually came out and said, by the way, yesterday, while there may be water on Mars, don't believe everything you read on the internet today. Facebook is free and it always will be. And the thing about copying and pasting a legal notice is just a hoax. Stay safe out there, Earthlings.
By the way, Zuckerberg, you might want to take it easy with the whole it always will be talk, because I don't know that it always will be, but you don't have to pay anything now. Why would somebody want to do this, Jason? Just to watch their timeline change and laugh about it?
I mean, it's the question of why do people get like some sort of thrill out of hacking and just, you know, at right. people's expense, stuff like that. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, it's this
just,
is.
I mean, this isn't a hack. It's just
no, it's not. It doesn't even really.
It's just a just horrible joke.
This is a life hack. I mean, people actually took the time and effort to copy and paste. Yeah. And we're really worried about it.
Well, no, but you have the hackers who actually like to see the demise of these other people. This was just some slightly inconvenient misinformation. I mean, right?
Well, you put it like that.
But
yeah,
it shows you how, like, unfortunately, people are very gullible. Like, they don't check their facts in this stuff. Like, immediately they see it, they take it as fact, and then you see this whole wildfire spread of just misinformation.
Well, and so one of the variations of this said, well, there's nothing to lose, just to paste it, just in case.
True.
And so people did that.
I don't know.
I don't. First of all, Facebook, as I understand it, like 95% of their revenues are for the ads that they sell. So a subscription model is not what they're looking at, the ads and the information. I mean, there's a lot more money because there would be such a backlash against a subscription fee. That isn't in the cards, I don't think, given their business model.
But never say never.
Unless something really changes. I can't imagine they'd look at something like that. So there's that. And number two, just quickly from a legal perspective, if I may.
Oh, please.
When you agreed to your Facebook terms, okay,
right.
You agreed to give Facebook a license to the things that you're posting. They don't own them, right? But they've got a license to use those things. By saying I agree, you gave them that, right?
Okay, did you see the size of that document, number one?
That's
and number
a contract.
Two, I understand
that's a contract
that.
Between you and
nobody
Facebook.
Reads that stuff.
That's fine, but it still doesn't mean, that fact doesn't mean it doesn't legally exist. And number two, you can't change an existing contract by unilaterally putting a Facebook status out there. That would be the equivalent of me, which I actually did this earlier this week, simply saying on my Facebook status, my cable is now free. It doesn't work that way. So,
I got to quit doing that then.
No, there's obviously consent. I mean, I think that they've made a big deal about, and again, let me start by saying this. Google and Facebook are advertising companies. That's what they do.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
make money off ads, okay? So we need to understand that as consumers that we're, again, that's how we get to use it for free. Now, the whole question is the transparency of how privacy is handled. And each of them are supposedly saying that they're allowing us as much control to be able to, you know, what is termed private and what is public. I'll give Facebook credit. For the most part, you can lock down your profile pretty hard. It's you just got to spend the time. But the settings are pretty easy. But at the end of the day, the data, in terms of anonymous data, they use that to aggregate in terms of, hey, we got, you know, 55 to 60-year-old females using this right. that have interest in so-and-so. They're not going to say who it is, but it's going to be used as a part of that whole aggregate
You can keep your stuff
well, it's
from...
it's going to be used as a sales tool
yeah,
as
sure.
well.
Yeah, so. Sure. I mean, that's,
you
that's,
can
the,
keep your
that's
stuff,
the marketing data.
You can keep your pictures from other
right.
people, but you can't keep your information.
That's right.
That is the valuable stuff that they're
Absolutely.
After.
That's why Facebook is worth so much is because it has data that Google would give its left arm for. We've talked about that, how like... You know, to be able to have trending data or stuff related to interests of an individual, the granular level that Facebook has, it is ridiculous. I mean, that's how when Turbine uses Facebook, we're able to have much more precise marketing strategic use of it because we've got that information. So now, do I know, you know, the degree of specificity about individuals? Absolutely not. So, I mean, the users can be and the listeners can be okay with that. It's just...
But trends and demographics and all
yeah,
that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
sure.
that's, they're marketing companies.
Hey, I wanted to ask you about Twitter. A lot of talk about this yesterday. Twitter's thinking about busting the 140-character rule.
Really?
And getting bigger. Now, I could see that for direct messages. That would be helpful if
they
you could
did
do
it.
That.
They've done it for
yeah,
direct
right.
messages.
Yeah, right. No, and that's what I'm saying. I can see it for direct messaging. But... How big of a littered playground is Twitter going to become if people can put up 300 characters?
I'll tell you what,
you know what I mean?
That's a big deal. I mean, that's obviously the brief aspect of what makes it more to the point. That limitation is what's created a different messaging strategy, and basically the voice and the tone is different than Facebook. You know, Facebook, because it doesn't have that limitation. So they got to be careful. I mean, I'm with
yeah.
you. If they mess with that too much, you're going to like... blur the lines between the status in a Facebook versus the status in
That's
Twitter.
Why I like Twitter is
yeah,
you just get
do
down
too.
To it, right?
No, I, you get
it
right
is
to
what
the
it
point.
Is, and that's
you get
it.
Right to the point. No screwing around.
Yeah. Well, okay, here's what the stories say about this. They're building a new product that will allow users to share tweets that are longer than 140 character limit, which people already do by taking screenshots. That's kind of the biggest way that people
right.
get around that. They take a screenshot. So I think Twitter's saying, why don't we just use our own product if people are doing this anyway? But in addition to the long-form product, they're openly discussing, as you said, the idea of tweaking out Twitter measures its 140-character limit by removing things like links and user handles from the count.
Ah.
And so maybe that's how you
So you get 140
more,
characters
140,
outside of the people you copy
But
on.
The links
outside
and the handles
link,
doesn't count towards the character limit.
That's okay with
that's
me.
That message is still just 140, but those don't count against the 140. That's all right.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'll do that.
I can do that.
And
too.
And what they're doing, it sounds like with this product, is people already do that in other ways,
right?
By either posting, like I said, screenshots of text
or links to get to a blog that they've already done.
There used to be some services too that's like Twit Longer or something, where it was just basically a link. But
I haven't
was
seen those
kinda,
forever.
Yeah, nobody does that, or not very many people do that anymore. That's interesting. I hadn't heard a lot about that, but I'm glad you brought that up, Dave. Let's see. I think that's all I have on the Facebook, Twitter stuff. Let's move on to, you know what? I was going to move on to Apple, but there's half of our listeners, probably more of them that are in the smartphone world, probably more than half are in the Google world and not the Apple world. And sometimes I think we do get a little Apple heavy on here. And while it didn't make huge headlines the way Apple does when they unveil their new stuff, Google unveiled some new stuff yesterday. And so I wanted to touch on that a little bit. Jason, what caught your attention with the debut yesterday?
Well, again, this whole like in-demand device stuff, Chromecast, Amazon, Apple TV, that's been a big arms race for, you know, delivering in-demand content. The Chromecast has been fairly decent. We've talked about the limitations, but it was pretty solid of making a dumb TV smart. The next version of Chromecast seems to be pretty... a good iteration or evolution. The thing that I thought that was interesting that they were adding was the ability to make a speaker smart. So, like, basically, I could take my old Bose speaker that's from, like, 20 years ago and turn it into, like, essentially a Bluetooth speaker, which I thought was really sweet.
With a device that you hook into it?
Yeah, it's has an ability to make a standard speaker be a part of it, an intelligent audio system.
I love that. I wouldn't have thrown away a system I had.
Yeah, because we all have old speakers that we don't use anymore, but I don't like most of those Bluetooth devices because the speakers are so crummy for the most part.
I don't know the logistics.
There are good ones, but you got to spend a little bit of money.
I mean, I don't know the logistics of exactly how it works, but I was reading about it yesterday, and I'm like, that's awesome. That's pretty cool. I could see that. Like I said, you know, we buy these little itty-bitty, you know, Bluetooth speakers at home to play Christmas carols during Christmas and stuff, and it's like, but they suck. They're terrible speakers. How cool would it be just to have it over the normal Bose ones that I have with the stereo?
Don't you think, too, though, Jason, I mean, there's an awful lot of emphasis put on the next OS that comes out.
Right.
But there isn't, apart from your handheld device, whatever that may be, an iPad or a phone the size of an iPad, there isn't a whole lot else in our universe that seems to be changing all that much. Okay, you got smart homes if you can afford it, and if you can wire the house when you're building it, that can be a smart house. But the rest of us that live in something that already exists, the stuff around your phone isn't changing a whole lot. I like that idea of being able to repurpose, for lack of a better term, your speakers. I'd like to see a lot more of that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think instead of having to buy intelligent devices, let's make devices and stuff that we use around ourselves smart. So however they can start doing stuff like that, I think that's
retrofitting.
Awesome.
Now,
yeah, totally.
I presume those retrofit things are going to be, it's going to work with Google Play Music Store. I wonder if it works with services like Spotify and other ones.
That's a great question.
They're trying. They unveiled a new family plan, which I thought was interesting too, for Google Music. That's like six people for $15 a month, trying to get people off of Spotify and the new iTunes Music and those sorts of things. So they're trying to be a player in that realm as well. But I think that's probably what they're trying to do here. And the other thing is, I don't know what I read a little bit about what the new Chromecast is doing. It's they changed the design, which I couldn't care about less because
I don't even
see that. And you can, now you can use, I believe. I don't know. Did you see anything new and exciting with the new Chromecast
at
all?
Not really. Nothing really stood out to me. I mean, the speaker thing was really interesting, but I mean, even when we talked about the Apple one, it's like, not that we've hit the ceiling on this, but I feel like that there's, the disruption opportunity here is not as significant as it was before. I mean, we're getting in-demand content. It's just now the convenience of how we get it and so forth.
But between all those devices, between the Amazon Stick and Roku and all that other kind of stuff, there's really no difference.
I agree.
It's a price point more than anything. It's what's on sale at that time.
For Amazon and Roku. At least for Amazon and Roku. Those two are very comparable.
And Chromecast is trying to do a little bit what Apple's doing with like the games and doing more of like an environment.
Yeah, but I get that on Roku too.
I agree. I mean...
It's just that the Chromecast, you've got to use your own phone or computer or tablet to stream it. And you can't play Amazon Prime stuff on it. I mean, that's
which is natively. And that's why like I've loved Roku for that reason is it's independent. It doesn't care who is.
Yes. I'm with you on that.
And I've had
that's
four
been
Rokus.
The best. I've tried all of these systems. I haven't done the Apple TV.
I love Roku,
but the Roku has been and the new sticks are. I mean, they're really nice and they look good. And now BTN has an app, so you can watch some of that stuff, the old games on BTN and. Time Warner, if you use cable, has an app, so you could actually watch cable on a TV that's not connected to cable. And so that's
well,
better.
You have to have a cable subscription, but yeah, you can.
A TV that's not connected, right, yeah.
Yeah, but a TV that's not connected to the cable, which is nice because I've actually done that.
Right, yeah. I see, I see Google announced a new Android tablet. They're going the Microsoft Surface route. Isn't that interesting? Apple and Google both kind of looking like Microsoft Surfaces.
Yeah,
and,
I noticed that.
The Pixel C... This is the Android tablet that they unveiled. Starts at $499 and $149 for the keyboard that attaches magnetically.
By the way, a fire sale on all of the Amazon tablets. Have you seen six packs of these going for $250?
Yeah, I saw that. They come in little carries.
Yeah.
That is. There are going to be a lot of those coming off the shelf Christmas, I think, for kids particularly.
Yeah, because now the whole family's hooked up and everybody's got their own, so you don't have to use mom's.
I bought one for when it wasn't that cheap. I bought one for about $70 a few months ago. The only thing I really use it for is streaming video, though, still. I don't write emails on it. I don't do much on it other than that, but for that purpose, it was
that's
worth
pretty
it.
Good deal. Yeah, I was gonna say that's almost like disposable tablet. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Real quickly, we've got to go. But did you have you done the new iOS yet? Have you given it a try?
Yeah.
Have you had any problems?
Well, I'm a beta one, so I get the stuff before people. But I've got the regular 9.0 on my tablet. I have an iPhone 5. I've been very pleased. It's my wife has a 6 Plus and had some issues, and then they had the update that just came out, 9.01. But I'm loving it, dude. I mean, my iPhone 5 got some new life breathed into it, so I'm pleased.
Do you have it yet?
Yeah, the usability. I literally had my 6 Plus for 3 days before the iOS came out, and it ran better to begin with, and then the update came out, and it ran even better after that. You have to know how to turn off a couple of things. Look into turning off the assistant so it's not running in the background. And
what's that about data usage?
That's data usage. So if you have a limited plan, it'll automatically switch you, and it defaults to yes, it's automatically on. So if you don't want that running in the background all the time, you got to turn that off.
Got
if you're
good tip.
On a data plan. So
all right, well, some initial.
Good stuff. Update.
That. Yeah, absolutely. All right, Jason, we always appreciate it. We'll get with you again in 2 weeks and have more to discuss, I'm sure. All right.
Sounds good, guys.
There you go. Jason Peterson from Turbine Digital. Find out more. This is turbine.com. All right, we're going to take a break. Back with sports after this, 8:51 on Jack and Dave in the morning.